Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The United States of America is a large country, one of the largest. Israel is a small country, one of the smallest. America lives in one of the world's safest neighborhoods. Israel lives in the world's most dangerous neighborhood. America is the strongest power in the world. Israel is strong, but it's much more vulnerable. American leaders worry about the security of their country. Israeli leaders worry about the survival of their country.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. There's no question that this is the main topic on the minds of all, let us say, news-literate people in the world. If you don't even know there was an election in Israel, and the President of the United States put his hand into that pie, tried to overthrow Netanyahu, and failed. He sent approximately 200 fanatical left-wing street operatives, including one Jeremy Byrd, who ran his 2008 campaign with an iron fist. And as a result, the results today are go far beyond that of Israel, boys and girls. Far beyond that of Israel. Because if you analyze this election, several things jump out at you. First of all, the bias of the media was so overwhelmingly against Netanyahu that it becomes not an embarrassment, but a laugh line. We know that the media is all anti-American, anti-Israel all the time. We know they're anti-nationalist, let's put it to you that way. You see, members of the media are all of these overly educated and unlearned people who believe that they're not citizens of America or of any nation on earth, but they're citizens of the world. And let me remind you of something else. Before he became president, Barack Hussein Obama went to Berlin. And in that memorable, meaningless speech, the president called himself a citizen of the world. And boy, does it turn out that he really meant what he said. Maybe the one thing he said that he really meant. He certainly isn't the citizen of the United States. If we have to question whether he loves America, I guess there are questions as to whether he loves America. But the fact of the matter is, this was about Obama. And people say, are you happy today that Netanyahu won? I say, well, the real story is that Obama lost. He spent all of his powers trying to defeat Netanyahu, short of going to war with Israel. Yes, you heard me, and he lost. So those of you who are religious are celebrating today and saying it was God's hand that Netanyahu won. That's one way to look at it. I'm more of a pragmatist than I am a religionist. And pragmatically, the Jews in Israel know that their back is against the wall. They know what an existential threat to their survival means, while Americans don't really know what an existential threat to their survival means because they live in a dream world. And I don't blame most people for living in a dream world. Who wants to walk around agitated 24 hours a day of what might be tomorrow when they can enjoy today? Very few of us do that. And those of us who do that for a living have to do it for a living. And we are hired to do that for a living. We are hired to be the seers. And we are the seers. And we see what's coming in this country. And so today I want to speak about the election in Israel, not so much about from the Israeli point of view, but from the American point of view. What does it mean for us? If you analyze the election, you understand what happened here. Netanyahu was behind in the polls last week, and then he made a dramatic turn. He moved to his base. He moved to the right. And one thing that came out in almost all of his rhetoric over the last few days was about the left wing. He kept mentioning the left wing in Israel. They're not ashamed to admit that there's a left wing and a right wing in Israel, while here in America, there's only a left wing and a far left wing, isn't there? Well, let me remind you of something for those of you who are in the middle. A bird needs two wings to fly. And the reason this country is going in circles is because it has two left wings flapping around the clock. Write that down. You heard it first in the Savage Nation. A bird needs two wings to fly, a left wing and a right wing. In this country, we have two left wings flapping. But there actually is a right wing. Do you know where it exists? Not in the Republican Party. You see a semblance of the right wing in the Tea Party. You see a semblance of the right wing here and there, politically now. But you know where the right wing is? It's in the hearts of the people. This nation is largely a center-right nation. I'm not talking about Hollywood. I'm not talking about Manhattan. I'm talking about the rest of America, what is affectionately known as flyover country. The workers of the country, those who actually work for a living, those who know that the cops are the real victims in this country, not the criminals. That's the flyover country that I'm talking about. The unhealthy worldview that Obama has, the unhealthy view that we saw in Ferguson, these are the views not of the people, but of the media and of those in high places in the government. So the questions that I ask you today are, do you think that the media and the Obama administration will support Israel now that the voters have spoken? I don't. Here's the big one. And here's the big one I talked about yesterday. Many of you thought that there'd be a dramatic change in relations with Israel, but I warned you to remember one major thing. Israel is a client state of the United States with regards to military hardware. Yes, they have a hard army of men and women. The conscription in Israel is a requirement, unlike here. It's not an all-volunteer army. Everybody in Israel has to go into the military, with the exception of the ultra-religious, which just changed recently, by the way, for the betterment of Israel. No one should get a free ride there. But nevertheless, do you think that the Israeli government under Netanyahu, which is at odds with Obama, is going to fight with him now that they need heavy weapons? No. I don't think it's going to come to that. And I think Obama's going to apply some pretty draconian measures against Netanyahu to get what he wants. And that will be the form of negotiation, the form of which weapons this country continues to give Israel. So Israel's in for a bumpy ride for the next 2 years. Make no mistake about it. Obama's true colors have come out on Israel. And the fact of the matter is, Netanyahu is not really free to act on his own against Iran right now. No matter how much he might like to, that's if he really would like to take that on, I don't think he's going to do it. But with regard to a message to the Democrats and to Obama for the 2016 election, that's where I want to focus today. I want to focus on that today. If we can get any of our candidates to appeal to the center-right sentiments of the American voter, and stop trying to make believe that they appeal to everyone. Stop pandering to the left wing in America. Stop pandering to the illegal aliens in America. And stop talking about a bi-state solution for America, which means flooding America with 40 million illegal aliens. If someone stood up and said, no, if I'm elected, I am going to turn back this flood of illegal aliens. I don't care what laws the president passed with his pen. I am going to turn them back. I'm going to save America. I'm going to preserve America's borders, language, and culture because I am an American. I am not an internationalist. And I want, and if they gave a speech like that, a nationalist speech, I can assure you that it would be a landslide victory in America for a nationalist candidate the same way it was in Israel. And that's the message for today. This country has been so sold down the river by the media into believing that most people are liberal. Most people don't really care about the country. Most people are citizens of the world, that they've come to believe it. But you know, Goebbels said a long time ago when he worked for Hitler, if you tell a big lie often enough, it becomes the truth. Well, guess what? The truth will set us free. If you tell the truth often enough, it will set a nation free. Free like a bird with two wings. Now, what I want to play for you on the Savage Nation right now is a montage of the liars in the media before the election, where they were saying it was too close to call, it was a shocking victory, Netanyahu's this, Netanyahu's that. The worst of them, if you listen carefully, is Andrea Mitchell. She gets the prize of the GOAT. I have for years said this woman has no business being on television, given her close association with her husband, the Federal Reserve chairman of his time, and their little conspiracies against our currency. Now, I know that you find this offensive if you're a liberal and an internationalist, but it's all related to money at the end of the day. It's all related to banking. It's all related to the banking industry and those who secretly control our government and the others. Now you say, wait a minute, you're getting so far afield, I can't follow you. What the heck does the election in Israel have to do with monetary policy? I'll have to tell you that it's going to take me a little while to explain that it's not a soundbite. It's not an easy a soundbite as a bird needs two wings to fly. That's something everyone can understand. Currency manipulation is very complicated. The number one currency manipulator on the planet is George Soros. He has made tens of billions of dollars manipulating currencies. In fact, he almost broke the Bank of England. In fact, he almost broke the Malaysian currency years ago. He's also the secret behind Obama's secretive victories. You don't know any of this. George Soros is a, I don't know, trillionaire, multi-billionaire, who knows what, made through the manipulation of currencies. Jesus warned us about money changers in the temple. And what I want to talk about is currency for a while. One of the reasons that Israel was seen as a thorn in the side of Obama and the internationalists in the EU is because of the statement by Karl Marx, stated over about 100 years ago, or close to 100 years ago, if you want to make an omelet, you've got to break a few eggs. Netanyahu was the egg they tried to break. And take a guess who has egg all over their face. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. In addition to the story about the elections in Israel, we're going to talk about domestic issues because there's a relationship, as I said earlier, between what happened in Israel and what should happen here, which is that if we have a candidate, and maybe it's Ted Cruz, I'm not a big fan of Rubio, but let's say he takes the lead, God forbid. If this man would have stopped playing the center and took a strong right-wing position without getting fanatical, retaining a very strong firewall between right-wing viewpoints and racism, and not crossing that firewall, there'd be a landslide in this country like you've never seen. This country has had its experiment with communism, socialism, and appeasement, and it is dying for a strong leader. And they would vote in droves for a strong leader. Now, you're not going to get this from CBS and NBC. You're not going to get it from any of the news channels. Occasionally, you'll hear it from someone on Fox. But yesterday, David slew Goliath. The Goliath was the United States of America and the European Union Socialist, which is a sort of nascent new Soviet Union light. CBS and NBC in particular bashed Netanyahu on election night. They kept saying it could destroy the chances for peace with Obama and the Palestinians. Well, okay, Reagan said, yeah, let's have peace through strength. He didn't say let's have peace through appeasement. Neville Chamberlain wanted peace also. After the devastation of World War I, the British didn't want their boys to die in World War II. I don't blame them. So they had a socialist named Chamberlain. In the famous speech, he went to Munich and he met with Herr Hitler. And he came back holding up that piece of paper, that famous speech. And he says, I have in my hand an agreement with Herr Hitler. And in this new naval agreement, it says that Germany and Britain will never go to war again. Yay! Hip, hip, hooray! The next day, Hitler invaded Czechoslovakia. That's what Obama wanted in Israel. A peace treaty with Iran. At all costs for tomorrow, he didn't care. What Obama wants is a legacy. He doesn't care what happens tomorrow. Flood America with 40 million illegal aliens and be loved by the internationalists. The Pope might give him the Pope Medal for that one. Peace with Iran. Yay! Doesn't matter if Israel disappears 3 years from now. Didn't matter. So that's what he wanted. And he had the media behind him. Now, something happened that I have to tell you about Michelle Obama's mother that you're not going to believe. I would be remiss not to play this. It has nothing to do with Israel. Did you see the story in the New York Daily News today? I almost fell out of my chair. Did you know that long before Michelle Obama became first lady, her mother had misgivings about her marrying a young man named Barack Obama because he had white blood? Yes, I'm not making this up. It came out in the liberal New York Daily News. Her mother said she was worried about her daughter marrying a biracial man. And do you know why? Well, I have to play the soundbite for you to listen and believe it. And it explains, by the way, why Obama sat in Reverend Wright's church for 20 years, why he has such a bias against police, and why he has such antipathy towards America. I want you to listen to the mother from 2004. You're not going to believe this. Listen to this.
That didn't concern me as much as had he been completely white. And I guess that I worry about races mixing because of the difficulty.
That didn't concern me as much as had he been completely white, said Mrs. Robinson, the mother of the First Lady, in the appearance on WTTW Chicago Tonight, which no one noticed at the time. We pulled this. No one's played this yet in the media. And she said, I guess that I worry about races mixing because of the difficulty. Now, I have to ask you something. Had she been Caucasian, would the national media be running wild with this story? But there's nothing to see here, folks. Move along. Justification or not for a woman of her time period, Michelle Obama's mother said something that is reprehensible when she said it would have been worse if he was all white. Can you believe this? Did you hear what I just said? And you say, well, wait a minute. What does it have to do with anything? Well, it explains Obama's antipathy to America. It explains his antipathy towards policemen. It explains why he's considered himself a citizen of the world. It explains why he and Michelle sat in Reverend Wright's church for 20 straight years. It explains why he has a street rat like Al Sharpton in the White House 15 to 20 times. It explains why he has a relationship with Louis Farrakhan. And it explains why he's not on the side of the police. Remember that Michelle Obama's mother doesn't live by herself. She lives in the White House. She's there all the time. She's an advisor. She is one of the main voices that the president listens to. She said it could have been worse if he was all white.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
As in ancient Rome, when Cato the Elder, who was a historian of his time, wrote about the people of ancient Rome, he said, the average Roman does not care about what the legions are doing in foreign lands. They care about the pebble in the shoe. And what he meant was, the average Roman then and the average American today cares about the price of bread, the price of milk, the price of gas, the price of housing, the cost of taxation, regulation. They don't really care about what happened in the Holy Land any more than the ancient Roman cared about what the legions were doing in Germania. But there are ramifications to the huge victory in Israel right here at home. Why? Because your president did the unprecedented thing of trying to overthrow the leader of Israel and have him thrown out of office. Now, I was the one who pointed out during a call yesterday that our government has been engaged in manipulating foreign powers from the time it was founded. I'm not a child about this. When Allende was overthrown in Chile by the CIA who orchestrated the coup, that was in America manipulating a foreign election, right? The difference was Allende was a communist, and America was anti-communist at the time. And America didn't want the scourge of communism spreading from South America to this country. Well, now that this country is largely socialist, if not outright communist in many places, we're trying to overthrow every nationalist government around the globe. That's what just happened in Israel. They didn't try to assassinate Netanyahu. They just tried to character assassinate Netanyahu. And with a little help from the media, they almost did succeed in assassinating Netanyahu. Now, we have to thank someone for this. He's the silent reason that Netanyahu won. And I know many of you have been brainwashed by not far-thinking people in the media that Boehner is all bad. Boehner is bad on immigration. Boehner is bad on so many things. But it was John Boehner who invited Netanyahu to Congress. Never forget that. It's very easy to say Netanyahu is all this, Obama's all that, and this and that. But it's not true. People are complex. You have to thank Boehner for having had the genius for having invited Netanyahu to speak before Congress, because that fractured the Democrat machine. It's the first time since this dictatorship emerged in America that the machine called the Democrat Party was fractured. Many of the Democrats joined the Republicans in backing Netanyahu's appearance and in cheering him, by the way, because they saw a great man had appeared in Congress. He was great. There's no question about it. And when you saw the adolescence of Obama exemplified by his saying afterwards, oh, I didn't listen to the speech. I was busy playing video talk with something about Ukraine. But I read the transcript. I've never seen anything as embarrassing come out of a president's mouth as that. And I thought I saw a lot. The comparison between Netanyahu and Obama was overwhelming for the world to see. And as a result, Obama doubled down. As a result, Andrea Mitchell got the marching orders. As a result, CBS and NBC were called to attention and told what to say. As a result, they went into full-scale mode of attack, 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 and they lost. What little credibility they had, and they had almost none, they have none now, zero. They tried to manipulate a foreign election and they lost. Now, had they won, we wouldn't be having this conversation. I wouldn't feel as optimistic about the future of America today had they succeeded in overthrowing Netanyahu, by the way. This is a huge victory for democracy, by the way. Let's not forget that Obama's trying to undermine and overthrow Putin at the same time. They have demonized Putin and made him into a new Hitler. Hillary joined the chorus. All of a sudden, the man who was our ally and our trading partner became Hitler virtually overnight. Why is that? Is it because he put troops into Ukraine in the form of a, let's say they're not Russian troops, but they are. They're a proxy Russian force in Ukraine. Everyone can see that. But as we have discussed, it's a grave threat to Russia to put NATO troops and NATO tanks on the border of Russia. And Putin said, no, I need a buffer zone. No, I'm not going to let that happen. And I don't care what Obama says. I'm not letting them put troops on the border with Russia. I'm not going to let it happen. It's in my interest to protect the interests of the Russian people. Wouldn't it be nice if we had a president who thought about protecting the interests of the American people by saying, you know what, I was wrong about flooding America with illegal aliens. I'm not going to do it. I've thought about it. We can't afford it. So I'm not going to push it down the throats of the American people. I believe in the people. I believe in democracy. I want a vigorous debate on immigration. I'm going to withdraw from trying to force this down their throats. And we're going to start the immediate deportation of all prisoners who are of a foreign nationality in our prisons. We'll start by cleaning out the prisons and deporting the 30% of the population in all of our prisons and sending them back to their countries of origin. Number two, because I'm concerned about the third world war that is being waged by Islamists around the globe. I was wrong about that too. And it is Islamic. I agree with the liberal Muslim women who spoke 4 weeks ago and said that I was wrong. They are Islamic and they do pose a threat to all Western values. So I'm stopping immigration into this country from all Muslim countries. Muslims will not be permitted into this country until we can sort out who they are, because we have no way to vet whether or not they're going to become jihadists, whether or not they're active jihadists. Wouldn't it be nice if we woke up to that one day, to an actual president who put the interests of the people ahead of the interests of the New World Order? Wouldn't that be wonderful? And wouldn't it be nice if we woke up the next day and the president said, you know, I'm not trained in science. I was a community organizer. And I went to law school. I know nothing about science or climate. And I was misled by those in the industry that produces solar energy. We all want a cleaner earth and clean energy. But you know what? I was wrong about this issue of climate change and global warming. I'm going to stop with this whole nonsense about carbon dioxide. I didn't even know that carbon dioxide was required for plants to grow, because I never studied this in school. I was busy studying community organizing. And so I'm not going to pursue this issue of accords against coal and such that. I'm going to put the economy first and the people first. And then the next day, you see what I'm saying here. You get that picture, don't you? Now, that's, of course, a dream. That's the dream. It's why I'm successful as a fiction writer. I don't exactly believe in Santa Claus, but I do believe that this could happen one day in America, that we actually wake up to a politician who puts the interests of the people first. And that is why this issue of Israel is so important. And so let's now, for those of you who are listening so intently, talk about this topic with the listeners of the Savage Nation. And by the way, I just have something to announce, call it self-serving if you will, but if I am not for myself, who will be? If I'm only for myself, what am I? Red Flag Trailblazers just announced me as the 2015 Reader's Choice Trailblazer Award, right? Michael Savage won. 75,000 people made me the winner. And Red Flag Trailblazers are involved in restoring America's founding principles of fiscal responsibility, constitutionally limited government, and free markets by being outspoken advocates and supporters of the independent, libertarian, conservative, and or Tea Party movements. Well, they ran a contest of who should be the Red Flag Trailblazer, and it's me. I won. So all I can say is thanks to them. I appreciate that. Apparently there are people out there who know that there are those of us who do care about the country, and thanks for voting for me. Now let's take some calls. WABC, Alan, you're first up from New York City. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Brilliant subject about Mrs. Robinson. I'd like to label her, if I may, the first squatter, because she's been squatting.
No, hold it. I'm not going to go there. We don't have to actually put her down to be worried about her daughter saying she was worried about her marrying a biracial man, and it could have been worse if he was all white. That's pretty shocking unto itself. I don't think we have to add fuel to the fire. It's astounding that that was said.
The one thing I would point out is years ago you said that there was a tremendous government media complex, and what this exposes as well is how fast-tracked he was, and we're just finding this interview now. And imagine this. Imagine.
Well, yes, we just found it today in the Daily News. Did you read it in the Daily News in New York today?
I did, but you just played it, which I wasn't able to find anywhere.
Correct. Nobody in the media has found the comment by Michelle Obama's mother about her concern that she was marrying someone who was not all black, in plain English. I want to play that again. Play that little piece now, the shorty.
That didn't concern me as much as had he been completely white.
and
I
laugh.
Guess that I worry about races mixing because
well, did you
difference.
Hear that? Now, you say, well, she's entitled to her opinion. Yes. But don't you think that colors some of the policies of this government? Don't you think that explains some of the antipathy towards police, for example, that we're seeing?
I would, and I would also add that imagine the clip was of Barbara Bush speaking about Jeb Bush marrying his Mexican wife, and she chuckled, oh, thank God she's not all Mexican. So that also points to not only...
Well, actually, she is all Mexican, but yeah, your analogy is correct. If Jeb's wife was half Mexican, and if, God forbid, Barbara Bush said, well, thank God he was... Right, I get it, okay.
And the whole point is, I'm not trying to be disparaging, but it speaks to why these people behave the way they do. I mean, look...
Wait, what do you mean by these? Who are these people?
Well, the president wrote books about how he felt about white people, and she's speaking in her own words about how she feels about half, you know...
Yeah, I get it. No, I understand. It's a very uncomfortable topic. Many people are nervous right now from me even playing that, but I got to tell you something. I was shocked at the Daily News, and I thank you for calling, found that story and ran with it, because the Daily News is anything but a right-wing newspaper. Of course, now it may be on the hit list of the government. I don't know how this works. But remember, in 1998, a brilliant man came along and gave a speech at the Commonwealth Club, a little-known speech, heard almost nowhere. And you know what the title of that speech was in 1998? It was entitled, Beware the Government Media Complex. And so, yes, when we see the story about how biased the media has been against Netanyahu, and then this little-known story that popped up today in the Daily News that Michelle Obama's mother was worried about her daughter marrying a biracial man and saying with a laugh, well, it could have been worse. It could have been worse. She said, that didn't concern me as much as had he been completely white. Does anyone out there understand why this matters? Well, okay, these are some of the topics. There are many other news stories I'm going to talk about right here on the Savage Nation. You can call me at 855-400-7282. And I by the way, I would like to hear from biracial people, incidentally. You know, she's an older woman. She's 77 years old right now, so she must have said this in 04. She was 67. She came from another time in history where there was a lot more antipathy towards other races than there is today. All I can say to you is this. I grew up in a multiracial city called New York City. And I got to tell you something. I've never seen the races at odds as much as they are today. And that's because of haters like Al Sharpton, haters like Eric Holder, and frankly, haters like Barack Obama, who's so silk smooth at it, you don't even know he's doing it, but he's doing it on a daily basis. It is his stock in trade, divide and conquer, divide and conquer. And I'll say one other thing on this issue. It's a very uncomfortable issue, but hey, even Starbucks wants us to have a conversation about race. Isn't that right? The barristers, the geniuses they hire to serve coffee are now going to lecture us about race. So I suggest that the next time you go in Starbucks and one of the college geniuses who was serving coffee says that we want to talk about race, ask them what they think about the First Lady's mother saying that it could have been worse if it was all white. Ask the barrister what they have to think about that. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. All right, welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're talking about, well, a lot of things. I can't summarize every time we come back, primarily how the score is Netanyahu 1, Obama 0. A real, let us say, black eye for the New World Order. That's what happened. It's David and Goliath. And if you're a biblical person, this is almost a replay of history. Goliath, in the form of Obama, tried to stamp on little Israel and tell them how to run their country and to roll over to Iran, roll over to the Islamists, in essence. And they said, no, go to hell, basically. There's another big topic that came out this morning in the Daily News. And I think it's worth discussing because Eric Holder said we're cowards on race. Starbucks now wants us all to talk about race. I agree with them. We should. We should. And Michelle Obama's mother was worried about her daughter marrying a biracial man, according to the Daily News. Now, therefore, we have to talk about that. WMAL in Washington. Jay, welcome. Go ahead, please. You're on the air with Michael Savage and millions of others.
How are you, sir? I'd like to say I'm not surprised anything that a person says over 70 years old, white or black. So when she said what she said, I am wise enough to understand that I lived in a different time period than this woman. So white, older whites and older blacks share the same views, and we cannot put our modern-day views on those people.
You're right about that, but what if we had a right-wing president whose mother-in-law said something like that, but in reverse? You think the media might be more interested than in this?
Surely we're, because it's a liberal media. I understand that difference.
I understand. I'm glad you said it. I get it. Okay, so you're ascribing her bias to her age.
Yeah, because when Paula Deen said what she said, or the owner of the Clippers said what he said, I didn't have any problem with that because I understood. My grandfather is 97 years old, and he said things worse than that.
I could just imagine. You know, I got to tell you, once in a while I go around to some of the bars in San Francisco, and I've run into younger black men in their 30s who are doing well in business. Somehow they love my show. Somehow they don't seem to have a racist bone in their body towards white people. If only that applied to the White House, I think we'd have a healthier country. If only the White House didn't invite race baiters like Al Sharpton in every day, and if only they had not taken the side of the criminals and took the side of the police in Ferguson, it might be a healthier climate. That's what I'm saying.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
How do you do? How do you do? How do you do? Glad to see you in the second hour. Those of you who are holding on, thank you for calling 855-400-7282. Those of you who actually work for a living and are just tuning in right now to the great stations in America that carry the program should know we've been talking about the great egg on his face that Obama has as a result of him trying to tamper in a foreign election and losing, mainly the fact that he could not unseat Netanyahu, and two, the shocking story in this morning's New York Daily News that Michelle Obama's mother was worried about her daughter marrying a biracial man, where she said, I guess that I worry about races mixing because of the difficulty. And she said, well, that didn't really bother me. It could have been worse. She said, quote, that didn't concern me as much as had he been completely white. Now, people are excusing this because she's an older lady, and they say, well, that's from her generation. That's how they see things. Now, let's tie that to Starbucks. The lunatic who runs Starbucks, the CEO, is obviously a liberal in good standing. His name is Howard Schultz. He has a social consciousness, and he's trying to impose his social views on the world by encouraging green-faced barristers, poor kids who can't get another job, who are waiting, you know, to get a real job, and they work as a coffee server. There's no shame in it. I've washed dishes. I've bussed tables. I've been a lifeguard, a factory worker. I've done a lot of things. So there's no shame in getting out of college, and there's no job waiting for you. And you go to work in a coffee shop. Now the CEO has the nerve to encourage those who serve you coffee to have conversations about race with their customers. Can you imagine? That's a nightmare that you can never imagine. Imagine you're tired, you're drained, you just want a cup of coffee, and you go in and some kid who doesn't even shave, the girls, I mean, in San Francisco, they don't even shave yet, start to talk with you about race, and you don't know what to do. How in the world can a corporation ask the young kids who work there to do a thing like this? Moreover, how can customers put up with this? And so I would suggest that if you go into a Starbucks with the racial tension that Obama and Holder have created, with the violence that they've stirred up in Ferguson and elsewhere, with the killing of white policemen going on almost at an epidemic pace now in America, I suggest you ask the barristers those questions, which is, don't you think the president and the attorney general should apologize for having stirred up a racial hatred in Ferguson based on the big lie? And see what happens when you do that. Or if you want to really have a conversation with a barrister, ask them about Mrs. Robinson's comments about her being worried about her daughter marrying a biracial man. And see what the barrister says. We'll see if Starbucks has given them a couple of talking points. So let's begin now with a little news piece on this Michelle Obama's mother story right now on the Savage Nation.
Long before Michelle Obama became First Lady, her mother had misgivings about her marrying a young man named Barack Obama because he was biracial. In a Chicago TV interview that aired during Obama's 2004 U.S. Senate campaign and newly resurrected by Michelle Obama biographer Peter Slevin in a book due out next month, Marion Robinson confessed to being a little bit wary about her future son-in-law being the product of a white mom and black dad. But it could have been worse, according to Robinson. That didn't concern me as much as had he been completely white. Robinson laughed in the appearance on WTTW's Chicago Tonight, which was scarcely noticed at the time. I guess that I worry about races mixing because of the difficulty, not so much for prejudice or anything, Robinson continued. It's just very hard. While granting few interviews, Robinson has spent years doing everything from tucking the girls in at night to accompanying them on official trips to China and Africa.
That didn't concern me as much as had he been completely white. And I guess that I worry about races mixing because of the difficulty.
Okay. Ask the barrister for their opinion on this. Take the MP3. Be my guest. Play it for the barrister. Send it to Howard Schultz, the CEO of Starbucks. Ask him to put that in his coffee. Now, ask him about Ferguson and the fact that the liars in the media, in the journalism profession, cost 8,000 households $250 million in Ferguson, Missouri. There's a blogger named Don Serber, Blogspot, who writes this. He said, I'm sure Jonathan Capehart of the Washington Post felt warm and fuzzy when he posted, hands up, don't shoot, was built on a lie. Admitting his mistake is a start, he writes. And he asks, when will he pony up some money to help the 8,192 households in Ferguson, Missouri, recover the approximately $250 million in lost property values caused by his sloppy journalism and, to be blunt, his racism? When is it going to come out on MSNBC that the round-the-clock lies about Ferguson cost the homeowners in that city $250 million in property lost property values? They took advantage of the lie that Michael Brown had his hands up when Officer Darren Wilson shot him. The only person who actually said that was Dorian Johnson, Brown's criminal accomplice, in walking out of a convenience store without paying for some cigars after pushing and threatening the little man who owned it, by the way, who was of Indian heritage. That didn't make it to the media either, that these guys pushed around an ethnic minority who was smaller than them after robbing him. But Jonathan Capehart of the Washington Post apparently didn't mention that in his apology. And the fact of the matter, we all know that this was a big lie about hands up, don't shoot, was made up. It was made up, and it was made up by Al Sharpton. It was made up by Eric Holder. It was made up by Barack Obama. And who's going to pay the $250 million? That is another topic that to bring up when you get yourself a Frappuccino. Speak the truth and say to the barrister, you know, this is a little embarrassing, but how do you feel about the $250 million in lost property values in Ferguson as a result of the lie of the media? Ask the young man who doesn't shave yet and see what he says. And by the way, they get you cups for your coffee, and apparently they're told to scribble on it with a Sharpie. It's called hashtag race together, where young college kids are being urged to write this hashtag on coffee cups in hopes of sparking what? Meaningful conversation and spreading awareness of racial issues? This is more of the same madness coming out of, well, I don't know who you can blame on this, whatever. Let's take some calls on Israel. Let's take some calls on this business of Michelle Obama's mother was worrying about her daughter marrying a biracial man and all the other news of the day. Howard on WABC Radio, New York City, speaks. I listen. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for taking my call, Michael.
Howard, please, can you get yourself a modern phone? You know, the Dixie cup and string went out of business a long time ago.
It's on hold a little, long time. Is that better?
All right, now we're good. Okay, the string is resonating again. Go ahead, please.
Could you honestly say that if you brought an Arab girl home to your grandmother, that there wouldn't be conversation in your house being a Jew?
Yeah, but I'm not the president. Of course there would be. Of course that's the point.
Well, if we're going to have a discussion, and I lean to the right, and I agree with you on most things, but if we're going to have a race relations discussion, this woman was being completely honest. She shouldn't be pasteurized by the media for this.
Well, no one's putting her down. We're just concerned about the fact that she had these viewpoints, and we're asking, does that impact Michelle's view of America? Remember what Michelle Obama said when her husband was elected. She said, for the first time in her life, she's proud to be an American. What was that about?
I just don't want.
Well, what I'm saying is maybe the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree.
Honest, Michael, it's an honest.
Again, sir, the Dixie cup and string are not resonating. Is your battery running low?
It could be. It's an honest.
Okay. It sounds better now. Good. Will you take it out of your pants pocket when you're talking?
It's an honest answer, Michael. You're very funny. And by the way,
Well, let me ask you something. Why does honesty forgive you from the absurdity of what you're suggesting?
I don't understand.
You know, I know other people who say, look, I'm going to be perfectly honest, and they insult you. Does their honesty give them the right to insult you? You're insulting the intelligence of the audience by dismissing this obviously racist comment by the First Lady's mother on that television show. Otherwise, it wouldn't even be a news story in the Daily News.
Listen, the American audience are basically morons because we can't have a discussion about racism. You know, I'm telling you right now, what that woman said is completely honest, okay? I have Chinese business partners. They do not want their Chinese children marrying Americans. It's an honest American tradition.
You're going in circles. You mean racism is an honest American tradition?
100%, Michael. It's something that was shoved down our throats in the 60s by Kennedy when he lived behind his gated community and he wanted us to interact with each other. Meanwhile, he lives in a gated community with armed guards. Whites want to live with whites, blacks want to live with blacks, and Chinese want to live with Chinese. Let's have a real discussion in America and cut the crap.
Oh, you mean we should have segregation? Is that what you're saying?
You call it what you want. It's your...
No, you're saying you mean we should have pure white neighborhoods, pure black neighborhoods, pure Chinese neighborhoods, and pure Hispanic neighborhoods?
Oh, they exist, okay? Go to Manhattan and see how many black people are walking around on Park Avenue. Who are you kidding, Michael? I live in the real world.
Again, you're making statements that make no sense. Of course that's true, but so what? What does that have to do with what Michelle Obama's mother said?
Because look at the liberals. They're always the ones to talk about racism and things. Go into Manhattan on the Upper East Side and look at...
I know what you're saying, but it doesn't... It's not speaking to the point. The reason the Daily News broke the shocking story about that comment by her mother, who seems like a very nice lady, by the way, is because we're all asking, does that explain Michelle's antipathy towards America? Does that explain why the first couple sat in Reverend Wright's church for 20 years listening to this kind of hatred?
Michelle is a non-entity as far as a personality. She's just busy raping the American taxpayer. We all see that every day, Michael.
Well, don't be so sure. There are stories that she's going to run for the Senate. And of course, look, you can't blame a person for what their parents say or think. I agree with that.
The grandmother should be off limits. Come on, let's have a little class here. Let's lower...
Now you're blaming me for what the mother said.
I didn't say that.
Well, why don't you send a letter to the Daily News and tell them that they shouldn't have published the story?
I don't want the right to become as mean as the left, Michael. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, no, you're above the fray. I get it.
I'm not above the fray.
Yes, you are. You're an honest man and you're above the fray. You want a pure right wing in America, a crystal clear pure right wing.
No, I have clarity, and you cannot judge my clarity the same way that I cannot judge.
No, I'm not judging your clarity. It's very hard to determine anyway. I mean, whether you're clear or you're just making all of this up anyway, just for the effect of trying to get my goat. But my goat can't be gotten today. I feel too good. I feel too good because Netanyahu won. Goliath could not crush David. How do you feel about that?
I think the first thing Howard Schultz should do is take the white woman off the...
No, I didn't ask you that. I said, how do you feel about Goliath, meaning Obama, not being able to crush David, meaning Netanyahu?
I am so happy that Netanyahu won, because I'm praying that we're going to get a nationalist party in this country, Michael.
All right, so we agree on something anyway. Well, as my father in his little antique store in Manhattan long ago, before he died, had a little sign in the store that used to say to customers that gave him a pain in the neck, he had a little sign in the store that said, "Don't go away mad, just go away." I remember reading that. If only I could have that sign hanging on my microphone. If only I could have that sign on my microphone for certain callers. I mean, is there any way to say that, "Don't go away mad, just go away"? I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It is 25 minutes after the hour. We're talking about the elections in Israel and Starbucks CEO Schultz explaining his plan to use barristers to force people to have the uncomfortable conversations about race. I think that I'm going to send... I'm actually sitting here waiting for my assistant to arrive with a lunch and pizza. But after that, I'm going to send him to Starbucks, and I'm going to say, I want you to give this to them on sheets of paper. Hashtag, server, put down that Sharpie. Or I'm going to have him give them a sheet, a little note card that says, server, hashtag, cork your mouth while serving my coffee. Or we can come up with a hashtag, just shut up and serving my coffee. But let's listen to clip 12 now. Here's the actual genius behind this campaign to make everyone in America nervous while having a cup of coffee in Starbucks.
What if we were to write "Race Together" on every Starbucks cup, and that facilitated a conversation between you and our customers? And what if our customers, as a result of that, had a renewed level of understanding and sensitivity about the issue, and they themselves would spread that to their own sphere of influence?
What a moron. Wait, it gets better in 13. Listen to this.
If a customer doesn't want to receive a cup that says Race Together on it, then either give them another beverage or just replace their cup. And if a customer asks you what this is, try and engage in a discussion that we have problems in this country with regard to race and racial inequality.
Wow.
And we believe we're better than this. And we believe the country is better than this.
Oh, God, Schultz. I don't know if you built Starbucks or they hired you, but you really belong either working for Obama in the Justice Department or at Harvard University. These are the only places on earth left for you. This could destroy Starbucks. I mean, I won't go in there and be insulted like that. It's unbelievable to me. Extended breastfeeding linked to higher IQ and income in study. That's nonsense. Here's a new study now. Look at this. It says, not only does breastfeeding have clear short-term benefits, which is true, by the way. I've written books on it, including my great book called Healing Children Naturally. I know about colostrum. We know that. But now they're saying it's shown to be associated with an increase in intelligence. I was not breastfed. I have 170 IQ, and I do well in life. In fact, I think the opposite could be proven. Given that I know statistics and I'm trained in epidemiology, this is a rubbish study. Why? Why? Because if you were to study people who were denied breastfeeding for whatever the reason, you may find that they actually work harder to get the, you know what I'm saying? They didn't get what they wanted, so they actually struggle more and longer in life. It could explain why I'm still working when I could retire, when you think about this. Where was this done? Where was this... I don't know this. Where was it? Oh, it was done in Brazil. I'm sorry. I rest my case. Do you expect a study from Brazil to be accurate? Remember the Godfather movie where the Maya Lansky characters got a heart attack in Cuba? And they bring in a doctor and he says, send in a doctor from Miami. I don't trust any doctor who doesn't speak English. I don't trust studies from Brazil. I'm sorry. It's my bias.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
A very good day for Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu, and frankly for democracy. When a foreign government of this size sends 200 operatives over there with a war chest, we hear $300,000, I can guarantee you there was a lot more money than that. Okay? And they spend months undermining a candidate, and then they lose anyway? Not a good day for these manipulators from Acorn who have basically raped our electoral system here in America and try to do it to the Israelis. They're not having a good day. And we're talking about a very sensitive topic, which is race, because we were lectured and told to do so by Starbucks CEO Schultz. Now when you get a cup of coffee, they're going to leave you alone there now. There's nowhere to go anymore. Next, someone will make a pillow that has a little sound thing in it that before you go to sleep, it says, talk about race. Talk about race. As you, another, instead of counting sheep, you're going to... It's crazy. Why has this nation devolved so rapidly into this madness? We were getting along better. The country was moving together. Then along came this community organizer whose entire career has been built upon divide and conquer. And his henchman, Eric Holder, and they get a street... I can't go on with this. I don't even want to talk about it. I'll take your calls on these topics. And the breastfeeding is nonsense. I mean, it was done on people born in a small city in Brazil. Infants born in Pelotas, Brazil in 1982, published in Lancet. They interviewed about 6,000 new mothers about their plans for breastfeeding and then followed up to see how they did. Now they're telling us that those who breastfed had smarter, richer children. Unbiased, right? No, stupid. That's not a biased study. That's an invalid study. Why? Because the cohorts are all from one region, number one, so it has no meaning whatsoever worldwide. And number two, it's from one little area in Brazil. It doesn't mean anything. It's an example of faulty science. This is the same kind of science used to prove that there's global warming caused by man. That'd be like saying all the science is in on breastfeeding. What if Al Gore started to sell breastfeeding instead of global warming? I'd start to like him again. 855-400-7282, WABC. Deb, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
My concern was that Michelle Obama's mother comes from an age, born in the 30s, and she was just being very honest about race pride and ethnic pride in ways that my Irish aunt could not date Tony Giorgio's Italian brother. And I think my concern is more that Michelle put it on steroids. I think her mother was just genuinely honest about preserving her racial culture, but I think the couple that went to the White House have more of an elitist kind of look down on us white folks. But I remember at University of Hartford, the Jewish boys would date me, the Gentile girl, but they married Jewish girls, and that was the 60s. So I kind of think...
Well, wait, even back in the 50s, there was a play called Abie's Irish Rose.
Yeah, yeah. So we've been a long time trying to come... Wanting the neighborhood to be diversified and yet wanting the marriage to be multiracial, I don't think we're even there yet. But I think...
You know, but I think the important question is, what effect does this currently have on President Obama's thinking?
Exactly, because we have been...
So, you know, it's not relevant, really, what the mother-in-law said. What's relevant is, remember, she's in the White House. She's not in the next world. She doesn't live in the next town. She lives in the White House with them.
Yeah, and those attitudes have been ramped up. And I think that's the telling factor, that it didn't go to more open-minded. It went to a mistrust. I think they've bred a mistrust. I teach in a school that's highly diversified and very happy together. But when they started pushing this race stuff, I've got students writing about it that never even thought about it.
And well, that's what they want. It's divide and conquer. So in other words, it's the law of unintended consequences? No. It's actually a law of intended consequences. Barack Obama built his entire career on dividing and conquering. That's my opinion.
And if you look back to the movies Wag the Dog and Primary Colors, that were about inventing wars and issues to deflect the onlooker from what's really going on, we are living those movies.
Oh, so you're talking about the fake war against Russia and Ukraine, the proxy war.
They're creating things for us to be distracted, so we have not addressed what they're really doing to this country.
Deb, you're very smart. What grade do you teach?
11th grade, juniors. I used to teach American Studies, but they took that out of my school so we could all do core curriculum. And now at my high school, we start with 1930. We don't even start with the Constitution.
They start with FDR's big government socialism, I see.
Exactly, and our kids don't have any historic reference for the first 200 years.
In their teaching of the 1930s, did they teach about big government in Russia under Stalin, big government in Germany under Hitler, and big government in Italy under Mussolini?
Michael, I was told by one of my students the other day when he heard I was a conservative and he heard why, he said, thank you for sharing. You're the first conservative I've heard from, because all my history teachers teach me that it's all one-sided.
Hey, can I send you a copy of my book, Stop the Coming Civil War? It will arrive in a plain brown wrapper so you won't be embarrassed.
Awesome, yeah, sure.
And it comes with a hashtag, do read this book.
All righty.
By the way, oh, did she hang up? I wanted to find out who she married. Ah, what's the heck? It's too late anyway. Deb, are you still there?
Yes, I'm there. I'm here.
Did you marry someone from your Irish heritage?
No, I married a German, Italian, French guy and divorced him 10 years later.
I'm sorry, God. I didn't want to give a leading question.
I would like to add something about that, because my bias is that my children, I don't care what somebody's color is, but Judeo-Christian roots, that's important to me, because the ethics...
Well, don't worry. In a few years, that'll be beaten out of you too. So you have no bias against Muslims and pagans.
That's scary, because it's coming. It's frightening.
Deb, I really think the election in Israel is a. Let's hope that it's a harbinger of the world turning away from the beast of the left.
I'm praying it. I really do pray it. But.
All right, Deb, stay on the line. We're going to send you Stop the Coming Civil War. WABC, Steve, on the Israel issue. Go ahead. You're on the program. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Yes, Michael, I share your sense of exhilaration and encouragement on the election of Prime Minister Netanyahu. But as a lawyer, I really want to issue a kind of early warning alarm at dangerous developments that could be happening here domestically in the United States legal system. And I see it already developing in social media that people such as ourselves who are strong supporters of Israel might eventually be subject to laws for supporting a terrorist state, because there is a movement to change the mass psychology to undermine support of the United States for Israel and to increasingly brand Israel as a terrorist state. And if that happens, the law...
Steve, pause for a minute. Do you know who is behind the primary drivers of this Boycott Israel movement, who they are?
Specifically, no. I do know that among the academic left, there's been a movement, anti-Zionist.
Do you know that four of them are liberal Reform Jews? The top leaders are from the old American civil rights movement, and they're proudly anti-Israel?
I'm not surprised.
Do you know that they are the equivalent of the capos in the concentration camps, posing as liberals? They are the ones driving this movement of Boycott Israel, not Boycott Iran. No, not boycott any of the fascist nations around Israel, but boycott Israel. And they're liberal, they're for reform liberal Jews. And they're the ones behind this. Now, I got to tell you something. Do you know that there are Israeli generals who are not permitted to enter England right now or anywhere in the UK because of they're banned from entering England as terrorists? Did you know that?
No, but I'm not surprised.
And do you know who else is on that list of those not allowed to enter Britain? Me, Michael Savage. I am proud to tell you that I and several Israeli generals are on the list of those not allowed to enter England. So tell me who the loser is here.
You're in good company.
I'm in very good company. Unfortunately, I wasn't invited to listen to Netanyahu speak. He doesn't even know I exist because I live in a world of my own. And I don't associate with any people who know him. I would have gone. That's one speech I would like to have gone to hear. But I have no friends in high places. But your main point is that Israel's liable to be named a terrorist state by Obama next. That's what your fear is. It could happen. Anything could happen. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Let's talk about this and the other topics. Are you ready for this that just came out today? The White House is accusing Netanyahu of marginalizing Arabs. That's day number one. You heard me. This is the game. Racism is the word that pours off the White House's mouth the minute you criticize any of his policies. Now they're accusing Netanyahu of racism by marginalizing Arabs. That's their big strategy. You ready for that one? It goes on and on and on. I mean, these people don't stop. You know, Steve on WJR, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Michael. I love you. Go Bibi Netanyahu. I'm a fourth generation U.S. Army combat veteran. I don't understand why the party that tells me I can't have freedom to practice my religion, but if I want to buy a $5 cup of Starbucks coffee, I've got to talk about race with complete strangers.
It's an outrage. It's something out of George Orwell's Unbrave New World.
I swore an oath to protect this country from all enemies, foreign and domestic. It's a very hazy green line now between domestic enemies and who they are really are.
Well, I think that the CEO Schultz of Starbucks made one of the greatest errors of his life, if not the greatest error of his life. This has already backfired on him. People are so fed up with this PC being forced down their throat that they're just going to start boycotting Starbucks. That's what's going to happen.
That's what I'm going to do.
And I'll tell you something else. I won't go in there. If they think that I want to put up with some kid, I don't know that the kids working there want to do this. I mean, do you think they really want to be turned into little propaganda puppets?
I want a T-shirt that says Veterans Against Starbucks.
There you go. I'm sending you a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War, and thank you for your great service to America. Stay on the line. WFNR Radio, line number one. Please speak. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? I'm a multiracial individual, so according to the Starbucks race division, I'm a mocha, chai, vanilla, frappuccino with no sugar.
say that again. What kind of drink are you?
I'm a mocha, chai, vanilla, frappuccino with no sugar.
Why no sugar?
Vinegar, you know.
Why no sugar?
A little too much salt and vinegar, you know.
Yeah, in other words, you've got a strong attitude.
Right, exactly.
Now, well, you must have some stories to tell. As a multiracial individual, well, have you had a tough time?
No, not really.
Not really. Isn't that interesting?
I mean, I fear for the kids.
In other words, people bend over backwards in our country, and they have for, I would say, at least 15 years to ignore that differential rather than to magnify it. And then along came Barack Obama, who suddenly stirred the pot. Would you say I'm right or wrong about that?
Exactly. You know, he stirred the melting pot and things are clumping together, you know?
That's interesting. You know, America used to be a melting pot. Now what he's done here is he's actually divided the cubes of meat, the cubes of vegetables, and he doesn't let the pot simmer down and become a stew. He just wants the pot.
Starting to get rancid, you know, starting to curdle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe turn the heat off on it. I don't know, and it's turning into a congealed mess. All right, thanks. I got to get back to my pizza, take a quick break. I have a weakness in life. One of them is pizza, and I've only been able to eat one piece during the break that came during my break for my lunch. I must admit I'm salivating for the next piece. So listen to these messages, and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. I'm going to win a contest of who can eat faster. I mean, I know there are hot dog eating contests, but I have worked it out to a science. I just ate an entire pizza during that break. Admittedly, it was a small, not a large. Who invented this product? It's a weakness of mine. It's one of my culinary weaknesses. I loved it. I put pepper, I put oregano on it. I put chopped garlic on it. That's to see, you know, just to placate my fear of a heart attack from the cheese. I put chopped garlic on it, oregano. And I didn't use red pepper today because at the end of the show, I got to jump in the car, race to a dermatologist again to have the skin tags removed from the head. But this time, it's too many years of it already. Sometimes you just want it to grow. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what's worse, the scalpel, the burning. What would really happen if it grew? Is it guaranteed it'll be cancer? It's been going on 20 years. It's all the years I lived in the sun and sat in the sun like an idiot without a hat. And my mother, may she rest in peace, in those days they knew nothing about sun and cancer. She pushed me into the sun. They go ahead, get tan. Get some color. That's what they did in the Bronx. Go ahead, go out and play. I came home, my back was like a lobster. The skin was peeling. All right, you look good, you got some color. The crazy things that were done to kids that no one even knew what they were doing. There was a Dr. Scholl's shoe store in those days, I think. No, it was Buster Brown's shoe store. And they had a little gimmick. It was an x-ray machine. No one knew what x-rays were bad. And that you would put your foot in the machine and look down through from the top, and you'd see the skeleton of your foot in the shoe you were trying on. So while my sister was having her shoes fitted, I would stick my foot in there, and I'd keep hitting the button over and over again. I was giving myself one x-ray after another on the foot. I may explain why I have a foot problem today. I'm not sure. I have a slight problem. I had the worst restaurant meal of my life last night. It's a chain Italian. I don't want to go on in and out. I eat there off and on with a love-hate relationship. White tablecloths. Everything was wrong. Did you ever go in a restaurant where everything went wrong at once? The bread stank. They used to make their own bread. They sold the company. Now they have a new baker. The bread tasted like rubber. Okay, so I figured that would be, yeah, we got a new, I ordered a piece of chicken in this place, which I have all the time. It was uncooked in the middle. I ordered vegetables. They gave me vegetables salted to death, like a laborer somewhere in Guadalajara. What happens is they let the workers start to dictate how they eat food. And so they like salty, greasy food, so that's what they're doing to the customers now. And everyone's afraid to say anything. Maybe they ought to discuss race in that Italian chain with their workers. Maybe they want to have a frank discussion with them and say, the customers don't like greasy, salty food.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We tamp down the pace a bit as we move into rush hour on the East Coast and unrush hour on the West Coast. There is no rush hour on the West Coast. Everyone's so cool. They never rush. Everyone's relaxed on the West Coast. Nothing phases them. There's no Islamism. Well, they know there's global warming and they're sure that there's racism, but it doesn't really phase them because they know those mean right-wingers don't have any representation in California, so why worry about them? All those nasty farmers and workers in America who pay the taxes for the illegal aliens and the liberal establishment, they don't really matter. They have no representation, so why sweat over them? We're talking about the fact that no matter what Goliath did, David won. That's right. Obama was Goliath, and Israel under Netanyahu was David. And Goliath tried to crush David, but almost biblically, in a miracle, really, Netanyahu won. The big losers here are Andrea Mitchell and Barack Obama. Now, I point her out because she's always graded me. I've seen through this fraud from the get-go. I don't know what she's doing on television. She's worse than Al Sharpton. He is what he is. She pretends to be a journalist. Listen to this, what do you call it, montage that the fellows who work for me put together. I shouldn't have had the pizza. I'm already tired. I want to go to sleep. I'm joking. You know, I think being hungry during a radio show is the way to do it. I used to do shows starving. For the first 10 years of my career, I think I didn't eat lunch because I remember what Hemingway said. Go to a fine art museum when you're hungry and look at the great paintings. They look better. You can see better. I wouldn't eat before the show. Then somewhere around the year 2004, I started having Chinese food before the show. I mean, I'm still doing it. But now, you know, it slows you down because you want to relax after a meal. Now I want to relax after the meal. So I want to talk about the media lies about Netanyahu in this clip number one on the Savage Nation.
Breaking news, the dramatic finish to a fight for power in Israel and the last-minute threat that could destroy any chance of a peace plan.
Netanyahu battled to the end.
Netanyahu, locked in a tight race, publicly shut the door on a two-state peace solution, rejecting the idea of a Palestinian state, long a key pillar of American diplomacy in the region.
It was a dramatic finish to a frantic three-month campaign. And this has profound implications. It could mean the end of peace with the Palestinians, the end of peace with President Obama, and change the course of history in the Middle East for years to come.
This is a stunning victory for Netanyahu, a landslide that none of the polls had predicted. You can be sure there's a lot of disappointment at the White House this morning, realizing they have to try to work with Netanyahu for the next 2 years, a man who has been such a thorn in their sides.
Netanyahu not only won, he won big. The opposition leader conceded to him this morning. Now this also means that the relationship with the president, President Obama, is going to be even more poisonous because on election day, Netanyahu appealed to his voters to come out, saying that the Arab Israelis were coming out in droves. And he also said that foreign money from the U.S., from the State Department, was financing his opposition.
This is a tough break for President Obama. Netanyahu wants to torpedo the American-led effort in an Iranian nuclear weapons deal, and he now says he opposes a separate Palestinian state, a major stumbling block in any Mideast effort at peace.
Yeah, it is the bias, of course. They're all shocked, and Josh Earnest, the Goebbels of the administration, came out today and attacked Netanyahu. It just happened today. You know, as you'd expect. If there are war crimes trials ever held, I think Josh Earnest should be on the docket. He should be sitting there in sackcloth for the liar that he is. And he attacked the election in Israel, saying that a rift has opened between U.S. and Israeli leaders, this time over Palestinian statehood. What he really meant was, darn it, you stood in the way of Iran getting a nuclear weapon. How dare you, you little Jewish state, you. That's all. And then there's the issue of race, and the reason we're mentioning it's uncomfortable is because the CEO of Starbucks, mediocre coffee to begin with, but it's everywhere, so you buy it. And they're not known for their coffee. They're known for their convenience. In fact, it's hard to avoid a Starbucks. They're so prevalent. So if you want coffee, you usually go in there. Doesn't taste that good. Overpriced. Anyway, you go in there, and now you have to get a lecture on race from some poor kid just out of college because the jerk who runs it Well, listen to what he said on, of course, the government media complex outlet, MSNBC. This is the CEO of Starbucks named George Shultz pushing his absurdities down the throats of customers who simply want a cup of coffee in clip 12.
What if we were to write "Race Together" on every Starbucks cup, and that facilitated a conversation between you and our customers? And what if our customers, as a result of that, had a renewed level of understanding and sensitivity about the issue, and they themselves would spread that to their own sphere of influence?
Hey, if I owned a coffee shop and I had someone applying for the job and gave me that idea, I'd throw them out of the interview immediately. I said, what, are you crazy? You want to stir up a hornet's nest? Someone's coming in for coffee. They're tired. They want to drink a coffee. What are you lecturing them for? What is it? It's like Maoist China. Why don't you just get loudspeakers outside Starbucks and broadcast your viewpoint? Or better yet, become a talk show host. Now let's listen to 13.
If a customer doesn't want to receive a cup that says "Race Together" on it, then either give them another beverage or just replace their cup. And if a customer asks you what this is, try and engage in the discussion that we have problems in this country with regard to race and racial inequality. And we believe we're better than this. And we believe the country is better than this.
Oh, get off your high horse, your preachy high horse. Shame on you, Shultz, whatever his name is. Is it Shultz? Shultz. Shultz, 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 Shultz. Well, let's have a discussion of race, which we've been having in the show, because the Daily News published a blockbuster, really a mind-blowing story, to use a 60s term. Here's the headline. I didn't make it up. Blame the Daily News, which was known as a liberal newspaper until today. Here's the headline. Michelle Obama's mother was worried about her daughter marrying a biracial man. And so to set this up properly, we're going to play the little story behind the story and then the statement itself of Mrs. Robinson. How are you, Mrs. Robinson? Let's hear it now.
Long before Michelle Obama became First Lady, her mother had misgivings about her marrying a young man named Barack Obama because he was biracial. In a Chicago TV interview that aired during Obama's 2004 U.S. Senate campaign and newly resurrected by Michelle Obama biographer Peter Slevin in a book due out next month, Marion Robinson confessed to being a little bit wary about her future son-in-law being the product of a white mom and black dad. But it could have been worse, according to Robinson. That didn't concern me as much as had he been completely white. Robinson laughed in the appearance on WTTW's Chicago Tonight, which was scarcely noticed at the time. I guess that I worry about races mixing because of the difficulty, not so much for prejudice or anything, Robinson continued. It's just very hard. While granting few interviews, Robinson has spent years doing everything from tucking the girls in at night to accompanying them on official trips to China and Africa.
That didn't concern me as much as had he been completely white. And I guess that I worry about races mixing because of the difficulty.
Now, what if we had, just saying now, do I have to give you the analogy? You see how uncomfortable this really makes all of us? A family obsessed with race to this day explains they're sitting in Reverend Wright's church for 20 years, doesn't it? Inviting that street rat Al Sharpton into the White House, a man known for racial enmity and hatred. Louis Farrakhan, one of their friends in some regard, and their constant attack on white police officers. It doesn't come out of the air, you see. So that's why we're talking about it. Had she been Caucasian, wow. I would think even Andrea Mitchell might report on it, you know. I think it'd be a real topic today for half of the morphodites on MSNBC. Can you imagine? The ambiguous folk on MSNBC, you don't know whether they're men or women. What is that about? What is that about? What does that make them into something special? Why do they specialize in individuals you don't know their sex? Remember there was a movie years ago with a character called Pat? I actually liked that character a lot. I don't even know who played it, but you were never sure from the beginning of the movie to the end whether they were a man or a woman. It was part of the charm. Is that what Phil Griffin had in mind in hiring half the people on MSNBC? I mean, we know what Al Sharpton's gender is. It's hate. It's not man nor woman. It's a certain kind of animal called hatred. It's a different species altogether. But nevertheless, putting that aside, I mean, we're talking about these topics. Starbucks is a place to discuss race over a cup of coffee? When is this going to end? You know, it started with Safeway, by the way. I don't go in there anymore. It started with you checking out. You know, first of all, I hate checkout lines in supermarkets. I feel like a cattle going to the slaughter. I don't mind shopping. I like the cart. I like the picking. I like seeing the bounty of America in the aisles. I like taking my time, but I dread. I get an anxiety attack as I push that huge cart up to the checkout line. Why? Well, for one, you know you're going to get hammered by the clerk. You know it's going to be some freak that they hired. I don't know where they get these people from. And then they started in, the bill is $79.99. Would you like to contribute X dollars to this or that? I said, no. I came here to shop. No, I don't want to contribute. Why did they start shaking me down? It's like being accosted by a homeless person in Safeway, shaking the cup in your face. They make you uncomfortable. I didn't go there. If I want to give money, I do. I've given money to poor people. I do. I help people where I can. But I don't go to Safeway to give money. I go to Safeway to buy groceries. I don't go to Starbucks to get lectured to by a bunch of green kids who don't know very much about life. Why is the CEO doing this to them? Well, these are the questions. If you want to comment on any of these topics, the phone number is 855-400-7282. KSFO Radio, San Francisco. Paul, fire away. We got less than a minute. Go ahead, please.
Sure. I just wanted to point out that I didn't see Schultz at your rally on 209 that I was at years ago, where you actually had an authentic conversation about race.
People don't remember that. Back when I was a local host on KSFO, I got a lot of people out in front of the federal building to rally against Proposition 209, which was a race-based measure. And the people said, no, we don't want race used in hiring and government jobs, remember? And the people voted, and they said no to that. And then they hired a rotten, stinking left-wing judge whose name is Thelton Henderson, who is still around. He was the former lawyer for the ACLU. He happens to be a black man. And this one federal judge planted into the courts from the ACLU overturned the votes of all of the people of the state of California who said no to race-based hiring. Do you remember that?
And it took a Supreme Court in California to overturn it.
Yeah. But this man, Thelton Henderson, is still around. Did you know that? Still doing his damage behind the scenes. And now it's gotten much worse. Now the floodgates have been opened, and it's a complete war against the Caucasian in California. They're literally celebrating the demise of the Caucasian majority in the state. Do you know that? Do you know that? Am I allowed to say that? Oh, I'm having a conversation on race. Let's have the uncomfortable conversation. I just had a cup of coffee, so we're talking about race. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com. You get the picture. All right, let's move on. Nothing to see here. That's all. This is not racist. This is nothing like that. No. Don't believe what you hear. Believe what you're told by Josh Ernst. Believe what you're told by Obama that Netanyahu is the bad guy. Believe what you're told by David Axelrod, Obama's brain, who called Netanyahu a demagogue. Look who's talking. The man created the demagogue in the White House like a puppet. David Axelrod, Obama's brain, a lifetime fanatic left winger, Jewish, by the way, attacks the victory of Netanyahu and says this today. Tightness of exits in Israel suggests Bibi's shameful 11th hour demagoguery, may have swayed enough votes to save him, but at what cost? Hey, David, how about the demagoguery that has emanated from the White House ever since you created Barack Obama? You live on demagoguery. You know, it's unbelievable to me. By the way, the White House has not yet congratulated Netanyahu. I'm sure they will do so at some point. 855-407-282. WABC, Charles, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, I'm finding it very ironic that Mrs. Robinson didn't like him because he was Jewish in the movie The Graduate. But besides that, I think that maybe we should go to the Starbucks in Ferguson, Missouri, and have a cup. Oh, wait, they don't have one there.
It was burnt to the ground?
No, they never built one. They don't build them in those kind of communities.
Oh. I wonder why. Why don't they build them in those kind of communities? You mean the white cops might trash it?
Well, they, I guess.
Well, I mean, according to Eric Holder, the reason they don't build Starbucks in Ferguson is because the white policemen might go in there and not pay for coffee and wreck the place.
Yeah, they'd probably all be out in the parking lot like it was a dump.
Yeah, product. There you go. I mean, you got to be careful where those white cops congregate for coffee. You know, there's a very uncomfortable... We're having a racial a discussion of race because the CEO of Starbucks wants us to. There is an event that I don't know what it's called. March Madness, is that it? Well, apparently it occurred in a place where there's a Ritz-Carlton. And Ritz-Carlton had the audacity to put a 15% service charge during this March Madness thing on all drinks served in the lounge area. Well, naturally, they were called racist. They said, well, how dare you put a 15% service charge on the drinks during March Madness? Are you racist? What do you think that's about? Anyone know, Robert? Can you figure that one out? They've since apologized, by the way, for daring to make sure that the waitress got a tip during March Madness. Because apparently, no one was tipping during March Madness. That's if they were paying to begin with, they weren't tipping. So they felt the women, the guys working, they had to make a tip. So they put a 15% service charge. Right away, the race baiters started to scream that the Ritz-Carlton owes an apology. Right away, an apology. Everything with an apology. I'll be back to apologize for the next 30 minutes right here on The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage. And took a strong right-wing position without getting fanatical. Retaining a very strong firewall between right-wing viewpoints and racism, and not crossing that firewall, there'd be a landslide in this country like you've never seen. This country has had its experiment with communism, socialism, and appeasement, and it is dying for a strong leader. And they would vote in droves for a strong leader. Now, you're not going to get this from CBS and NBC. You're not going to get it from any of the news channels. Occasionally, you'll hear it from someone on Fox. But yesterday, David slew Goliath. The Goliath was the United States of America and the European Union Socialist, which is a sort of nascent new Soviet Union light. CBS and NBC in particular bashed Netanyahu on election night. They kept saying it could destroy the chances for peace with Obama and the Palestinians. Well, okay, Reagan said, yeah, let's have peace through strength. He didn't say let's have peace through appeasement. Neville Chamberlain wanted peace also after the devastation of World War I. The British didn't want their boys to die in World War II. I don't blame them. So they had a socialist named Chamberlain. In the famous speech, he went to Munich and he met with Herr Hitler. And he came back holding up that piece of paper, that famous speech. And he says, I have in my hand an agreement with Herr Hitler. And in this new naval agreement, it says that Germany and Britain will never go to war again. Yay! Hip, hip, hooray! The next day, Hitler invaded Czechoslovakia. That's what Obama wanted in Israel. A peace treaty with Iran. At all costs for tomorrow, he didn't care. What Obama wants is a legacy. He doesn't care what happens tomorrow. Flood America with 40 million illegal aliens and be loved by the internationalists. The Pope might give him the Pope Medal for that one. Peace with Iran. Yay! Doesn't matter if Israel disappears 3 years from now. Didn't matter. So that's what he wanted. And he had the media behind him. If you don't even know there was an election in Israel, there was an election in Israel. And the President of the United States put his hand into that pie, tried to overthrow Netanyahu, and failed. He sent approximately 200 fanatical left-wing street operatives, including one Jeremy Byrd, who ran his 2008 campaign with an iron fist. And as a result, the results today are go far beyond that of Israel, boys and girls. Far beyond that of Israel. Because if you analyze this election, several things jump out at you. First of all, the bias of the media was so overwhelmingly against Netanyahu that it becomes not an embarrassment, but a laugh line. We know that the media is all anti-American, anti-Israel all the time. We know they're anti-nationalist. Let's put it to you that way. You see, members of the media are all of these overly educated and unlearned people who believe that they're not citizens of America or of any nation on earth, but they're citizens of the world. And let me remind you of something else. Before he became president, Barack Hussein Obama went to Berlin. And in that memorable, meaningless speech, the president called himself a citizen of the world. And boy, does it turn out that he really meant what he said. Maybe the one thing he said that he really meant. He certainly isn't the citizen of the United States. If we have to question whether he loves America, I guess there are questions as to whether he loves America. But the fact of the matter is, this was about Obama. And people say, are you happy today that Netanyahu won? I say, well, the real story is that Obama lost. He spent all of his powers trying to defeat Netanyahu, short of going to war with Israel. Yes, you heard me, and he lost. So those of you who are religious are celebrating today and saying it was God's hand that Netanyahu won. That's one way to look at it. I'm more of a pragmatist than I am a religionist. And pragmatically, the Jews in Israel know that their back is against the wall. They know what an existential threat to their survival means, while Americans don't really know what an existential threat to their survival means because they live in a dream world. And I don't blame most people for living in a dream world. Who wants to walk around agitated 24 hours a day of what might be tomorrow when they can enjoy today? Very few of us do that. And those of us who do that for a living have to do it for a living. And we are hired to do that for a living. We are hired to be the seers. And we are the seers, and we see what's coming in this country. Now, what I want to play for you on the Savage Nation right now is a montage of the liars in the media before the election, where they were saying it was too close to call, it was a shocking victory, Netanyahu's this, Netanyahu's that. The worst of them, if you listen carefully, is Andrea Mitchell. She gets the prize of the GOAT. I have for years said this woman has no business being on television, given her close association with her husband, the Federal Reserve chairman of his time, and their little conspiracies against our currency. Now, I know that you find this offensive if you're a liberal and an internationalist, but it's all related to money at the end of the day.
Breaking news, the dramatic finish to a fight for power in Israel and the last-minute threat that could destroy any chance of a peace plan.
Netanyahu battled to the end.
Netanyahu, locked in a tight race, publicly shut the door on a two-state peace solution, rejecting the idea of a Palestinian state, long a key pillar of American diplomacy in the region.
It was a dramatic finish to a frantic three-month campaign. And this has profound implications. It could mean the end of peace with the Palestinians, the end of peace with President Obama, and change the course of history in the Middle East for years to come.
This is a stunning victory for Netanyahu, a landslide that none of the polls had predicted. You can be sure there's a lot of disappointment at the White House this morning, realizing they have to try to work with Netanyahu for the next 2 years, a man who has been such a thorn in their sides.
Netanyahu not only won, he won big. The opposition leader conceded to him this morning. Now this also means that the relationship with the president, President Obama, is going to be even more poisonous, because on election day, Netanyahu appealed to his voters to come out, saying that the Arab Israelis were coming out in droves, and he also said that foreign money from the U.S., from the State Department, was financing his opposition.
This is a tough break for President Obama. Netanyahu wants to torpedo the American-led effort in an Iranian nuclear weapons deal, and he now says he opposes a separate Palestinian state, a major stumbling block in any Mideast effort at peace.
If you analyze the election, you understand what happened here. Netanyahu was behind in the polls last week, and then he made a dramatic turn. He moved to his base. He moved to the right. And one thing that came out in almost all of his rhetoric over the last few days was about the left wing. He kept mentioning the left wing in Israel. They're not ashamed to admit that there's a left wing and a right wing in Israel, while here in America, there's only a left wing and a far left wing, isn't there? Well, let me remind you of something for those of you who are in the middle. A bird needs two wings to fly. And the reason this country is going in circles is because it has two left wings flapping around the clock. Write that down. You heard it first in the Savage Nation. A bird needs two wings to fly, a left wing and a right wing. In this country, we have two left wings flapping. But there actually is a right wing. Do you know where it exists? Not in the Republican Party. You see a semblance of the right wing in the Tea Party. You see a semblance of the right wing here and there, politically now. But you know where the right wing is? It's in the hearts of the people. This nation is largely a center-right nation. I'm not talking about Hollywood. I'm not talking about Manhattan. I'm talking about the rest of America, what is affectionately known as flyover country. The workers of the country, those who actually work for a living, those who know that the cops are the real victims in this country, not the criminals. That's the flyover country that I'm talking about. The unhealthy worldview that Obama has, the unhealthy view that we saw in Ferguson, these are the views not of the people, but of the media and of those in high places in the government. So the questions that I ask you today are, do you think that the media and the Obama administration will support Israel now that the voters have spoken? I don't. Here's the big one. And here's the big one I talked about yesterday. Many of you thought that there'd be a dramatic change in relations with Israel, but I warned you to remember one major thing. Israel is a client state of the United States with regards to military hardware. Yes, they have a hard army of men and women. The conscription in Israel is a requirement, unlike here. It's not an all-volunteer army. Everybody in Israel has to go into the military, with the exception of the ultra-religious, which just changed recently, by the way, for the betterment of Israel. No one should get a free ride there. But nevertheless, do you think that the Israeli government under Netanyahu, which is at odds with Obama, is going to fight with him now that they need heavy weapons? No. I don't think it's going to come to that. And I think Obama's going to apply some pretty draconian measures against Netanyahu to get what he wants. And that will be the form of negotiation, the form of which weapons this country continues to give Israel. So Israel's in for a bumpy ride for the next 2 years. Make no mistake about it. Obama's true colors have come out on Israel. And the fact of the matter is, Netanyahu is not really free to act on his own against Iran right now. No matter how much he might like to, that's if he really would like to take that on, I don't think he's going to do it. But with regard to a message to the Democrats and to Obama for the 2016 election, that's where I want to focus. If we can get any of our candidates to appeal to the center-right sentiments of the American voter and stop trying to make believe that they appeal to everyone, stop pandering to the left wing in America, stop pandering to the illegal aliens in America, and stop talking about a bi-state solution for America, which means flooding America with 40 million illegal aliens. If someone stood up and said, no, if I'm elected, I am going to turn back this flood of illegal aliens. I don't care what laws the president passed with his pen. I am going to turn them back. I'm going to save America. I'm going to preserve America's borders, language, and culture because I am an American. I am not an internationalist. And I want. And if they gave a speech like that, a nationalist speech, I can assure you that it would be a landslide victory in America for a nationalist candidate the same way it was in Israel. And that's the message for today. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from.
When she decides finally whether she's going to run for president, I'm confident that she will enjoy significant support, as she has for many years, of the American people, and that whoever our nominee is, whether it's Hillary Clinton or any other candidate, that we will make that we will be able to elect the Democratic nominee as the 45th president of the United States of America.
That's Debbie Wasserman Schultz. What is this with Schultz today? Everything Schultz. Starbucks CEO Schultz explains plan to use barristers as to launch national conversation on race. That's Schultz. Then Wasserman Schultz pumping up Hillary when she has lost her mojo. If she ever had any, it's gone. She's disappeared from the, you know, it's unbelievable. What's with Schultz now? I used to admire the name. There was a Secretary of State Schultz that I like a lot. Netanyahu, of course, is the big story, but that's been swept off the pages because that's a huge, huge loss for the Democrat Socialist Islamist bloc. Oh, what a beating. I mean, that's what it is. White House avoided congratulating Netanyahu during the CNN interview because the only good Jew is a begging Jew, a Jew who begs the United States for something. Proud Jew? No. Look at Woody Allen's view of the Jewish male or Larry David, right? That's the view that the White House has of what Israel should be like. If it was a good state, it would be run by Woody Allen. Right, Robert? Like, if it was Netanyahu versus Woody Allen, tell me who the president would have backed to run Israel. Would have been Woody Allen running Israel, mocking the religious, afraid to go to war, afraid he'll shoot himself with a gun. That's the kind of person they could do business with. Let's see what else is in the news. There's a lot of stuff in the news. This big thing is the race issue. Starbucks CEO, this is the story that's going to, I would say it's going to have legs. I don't like to use the word legs. I think it has certainly mileage in it because it's already backfired on Starbucks. I won't go in there. I never liked the place to begin with. I thought the coffee was awful. But you go in because wherever you turn, it's a Starbucks on every corner. It's not really good coffee. But then I don't go into coffee houses in San Francisco either. They don't serve good coffee. It's all burnt. Like, their idea of coffee is to burn the beans beyond recognition. It's like throat cancer in a cup. Where did they figure out that by burning beans until you can't drink the coffee and then serving it so hot that you get tongue cancer, that's the idea of a cup of coffee? Jim's nodding his head. He's of Italian ancestry, I believe. He knows what a cup of coffee I happen to like mild coffee. I can't drink coffee in San Francisco. So many of the items here that they consider to be, oh, it's so one, it's junk. Awful. Here's a nice one for you multiculturalists. Kansas High School finds 27 positive tuberculosis cases. All right, Savage, what does that mean? Well, tuberculosis was once annihilated in America. It was gone. Then along came Barry. Yeah, then he introduced illegal aliens by the hundreds of thousands this summer, for example. We're almost a year now till he brought them in by 100,000 on trainloads, infected with TB, all sorts of viruses and bacteria, including tuberculosis. And then he disseminated them to schools around America while you were sleeping. So it's not shocking that tuberculosis is resurging. No. Again, if you're going to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs. And if the eggs are a few kids in schools who get TB and die, what the heck? The big picture is to make America into something else than what it was, because it was imperfect. At least that's what the Reverend Wright taught him. And what he apparently still hears over the dinner table from Mrs. Robinson. Do you think she still harbors those views? Do you know what I'm talking about? If you miss this, you miss something. As we go out this hour, this is Michelle Obama's mother worried about her daughter marrying a biracial man from a tape in 2004. Tell me if you think this still matters.
That didn't concern me as much as had he been completely white. And I guess that I worry about races mixing because of the difficulty.
Okay. Well, Starbucks wanted us to talk about race. That's what we did. And the race in Israel. I'll be back tomorrow. Be here or be nowhere. It's the Savage Nation.